This week on Making Contact.
Women are the ones who are most disproportionately affected by environmental issues, by climate issues, just because of the roles that they play.
Women are gaining influence as leaders throughout the world, fighting for peace, justice, the environment, and civil society. In this program, we profile a dynamic partnership between the Women's Earth Alliance and the Global Women's Water Initiative, working on women's rights to water, land, farming, and basic human dignity. Rucha Chitnis is the India director for the Women's Earth Alliance. Mame Yelbert Obeng is the Africa director, and Gemma Bulos is the director of the Global Women's Water Initiative. They share with us voices and stories of hope and transformation. I'm Sandina Robbins, your host this week on Making Contact. This program is a special collaboration with the Women Rising radio series. Women's Earth Alliance, or WEA, began as a vision of founder Melinda Kramer, who imagined a worldwide network of women sharing information, training one another, and bridging distances to support women and girls. WEA provides organizing skills, web-based networking, on-the-ground conferencing, and hands-on training in technologies that can help to solve basic problems in water and sanitation, farming, and land rights. WEA also focuses on women's and girls' empowerment and local community leadership. Melinda Kramer's vision has attracted women from all over the world who want to help make it a reality. One of those women is Rucha Chitnis, now the India director for WEA.
Two of the issues that are very core to my being, and I've always felt my calling, one was the human rights of women, and the second was environmental education, environmental conservation. And I just went on a journey for 3 months in India where I wanted to do some pro bono work with rural groups that were working on infant and maternal health. And during the time, I saw a little posting that said that there was a women's learning delegation that was traveling through northern India. And it was coordinated by Women's Earth Alliance. And the focus was food security and food sovereignty issues from the lens of women farmers. So that was something that completely captured me. And so I became a part of the delegation. And it was really remarkable. We went from the desert state of Rajasthan to Uttarakhand to this organization called Navdanya that is founded by Dr. Vandana Shiva. We met a lot of farmers, a lot of change makers. And it really, the delegation raised more questions for me, you know, in terms of, wow, what is the impact on women farmers when we talk about climate change or environmental degradation? What are the roles that women farmers in India are playing, which are completely marginalized and not recognized? Women grow up to 60 to 80% of the food, and yet in many countries, they are not recognized as land farmers. They don't have access to land rights. They struggle to manage their own resources. And the second time that I went, the Pakistan floods had happened. Then the floods followed in Ladakh, floods followed in Uttarakhand. And you could definitely see that there is something strange and disturbing going on in the climate. And one thing that struck was that women are the ones who are most disproportionately affected by environmental issues, by climate issues, just because of the roles that they play as farmers, as caregivers, as energy managers. So shortly after the delegation, I was offered a position at Women's Earth Alliance to be a part of the India program. And so Women's Earth Alliance partners with grassroots women environmental leaders who are really in the forefront of their communities, working on these issues related to land, water, food, and climate. One thing that's really important and central to our work is highlighting the stories and the voices of women and the incredible work that they're doing in their communities, persevering against all odds. I've had the pleasure of meeting many, many such women leaders in India. For example, in Rajasthan, I traveled to a village where it hadn't rained in 3 years. And I met a woman farmer who was illiterate. She had a child marriage herself. And in her golden years, she became a part of a women's self-help group. And she learned that she could mobilize her community to build a water harvesting structure, which is called an aniket. And she so proudly showed us this enormous, I mean, this aniket was huge. And what's amazing was that she was the one who led the process, who raised the awareness in her community that, yes, we could work together to build this water harvesting structure. And the impact of this tank on the other villages is profound. And this has now become a common property resource, which means it's a resource that belongs to the community. They maintain it, they manage it, they have grazing rules. When we were in Rajasthan, in this very drought-stricken place, we were in Kamala's farm, and she saw this little bug. And she was like, ah, we haven't seen this bug in a while. It's going to rain. Because this bug comes up to the surface when it feels the moisture. Not only did it rain, that year we had floods in Rajasthan. So it's just sort of the intuitive connections that the women make. This one woman, she had made a keen observation of the medicinal plants near her farm. And she was trying to do experiments because the way sometimes farmers save their grains is they use these poisonous chemicals to make sure the grain does not get insects. And through her own experiments with medicinal plants, she found out that this one particular medicinal plant was just the smell was so offensive that the pests wouldn't attack it. So instead of using chemicals to preserve her grain, she used this one particular medicinal plant. One woman called Ramrati, she won the first woman farmer of the year in the state of Uttar Pradesh. And the women participants in our training went to her farm and they were so inspired because she had moved from a place of complete food insecurity and debt and chemical farming to growing nearly 30 crops, to saving her own seeds, to moving to a place where now she actually has savings. And she was very scientifically managing her farms. She was creating natural pesticides, natural herbicides. She was saving her seeds. She was self-sufficient. And the women participants just visiting her farm, they were so inspired.
Rucha Chitnis and we are searching for ways to support Indian women in saving seeds. The well-known Indian physicist, ecologist, and grassroots activist Vandana Shiva, who sits on the board of WIA, urges in her book Earth Democracy, saving seed is our duty, sharing seed is our culture. The seed-saving movement is an uprising against corporate control of seeds and its monoculture policies. It's also a way to fight genetically modified crops and maintain farmers' independence.
In India, women farmers are the seed savers, which means they play a critical role in preserving the biological diversity of crops. For example, there was a time when we had 100,000 varieties of rice in India. That's an incredible diversity, which we again owe to this centuries-old tradition of saving of seeds. Seed is one of the greatest renewable resources we have, which unfortunately we have corporatized. We've put a price on the seed, and now people are going out to the market to buy seeds. Monsanto controls nearly 90% of the cottonseed market in India, which is frightening if you think about it. The other thing is just other genetically modified crops that are slowly being pushed. There was a huge mobilization to stop the GMO brinjal. It's not completely blocked, but right now there's a moratorium. Often women are working in isolation. And I think that's the role that WIA plays, is bringing women together who are working on these key issues to create a safe space through which they can have a dialogue on how they're affected by climate change. What are their experiences as farmers, as resource managers, as caregivers with climate change? To exchange solutions, to exchange strategies, and to work together.
Mama Yelbert Obeng is the Africa Director for Women's Earth Alliance. She grew up in Ghana, and she strongly identifies with the African girls and women she works to support.
Sometimes I tell my friends that for me, there's a thin line between me sitting here and doing what I'm doing and me being on the market selling tomatoes or something else. Growing up in Ghana, before I would go to school, I would literally get up in the morning along with my cousins, go sell stuff, soap, oil, something, milk, so that we could pay our school fees, because I grew up with a single mom. And it was interesting to have that perspective of growing up with a single mom in a culture that is really male dominated, in the culture where a woman has to fight. I remember when I was 10 years old, I went to live with my auntie. She had 4 boys and I was the only girl. I would get up in the morning, make sure I bathe my cousins, make sure they eat. I sweep the house, take care of stuff, and I would do all these things. And on top of that, go to school and still expected to come up with good grades. That has shaped what I'm doing, and that has really deepened and broadened my understanding of what it means to ensure that women have the rights they need. Women can stand up and really not be shy about what they need to live their lives. My passion for doing this work really started when I was in high school. I was part of what they call the Village Outreach Club, and we would go to communities in rural areas every Sunday and give them health services, medical services, really talk to young people and advise them. And I was doing this when I was maybe 14. Right there and then, I realized there's something really deep seated in me of like really wanting to see that people thrive.
Mame came to the United States to study, trained with the Global Women's Leadership Network, and then joined the Global Fund for Women as a program officer. There, she met the founders of Women's Earth Alliance and the Global Women's Water Initiative. They were planning a joint training in water and sanitation in Ghana, Mame's home country, and invited her to join their team.
The powerful thing that happened was each woman was told to bring water, the source from which people get water in their community, to the training. And in the beginning, we had a water ceremony where every single woman shared a story of the source of the water. And it was just powerful. One lady who stood up, and the water was actually brown. And she shared the story. This is the water that is available in my community. And that is why I'm here. That is why I want to get the resources, want to get the knowledge to make sure that I can stand hand in hand alongside my sisters so that we can transform and shift, change things around, you know, and story after story after story. And it was so powerful. And at the end of the day, we poured all the water in a big calabash and we took some with us. I remember staying with my aunt. There were times where there'll be no water and I would walk with a bucket on my head for maybe 10 miles to go fetch water, walk all the way and back on the rail tracks for the train. And sometimes there was no water, even in Accra. I had just forgotten about those things. But now that I'm doing this, all these things are coming up for me. And if that is my story and that has been my experience, I imagine how exponentially difficult that would be in the rural areas where those areas are really, really remote, underdeveloped. Access to water is barely available, and that needs to change. And I think that's what, for me, that's what drives me. That's what keeps me going. I have cousins who are still living, caught in the same cycle of poverty, same cycle of not being able to make choices about having kids or how many kids you want to have, same choices of like being in relationships that are abusive. The work I'm doing now is to ensure that women and girls can live a dignified life where they have the ability to make informed decisions for themselves, for their families, and for their communities, and where their voices and their wisdom is uplifted, and the solutions that they hold, the solutions that have been in their bones for a long time, are brought to the fore and are respected. And so in the two trainings that we've had, rainwater harvesting has been one of the big technologies that we've had. And we do that. And at the same time, we used the biosand filters as another technology. These are all tools and skills that they learned in the training. And another thing that we use is the solar pasteurization, which is really critical for Africa. We have a lot of sun. you can use the sun to pasteurize water. And that means you are cutting down on the amount of time you might have to walk. You are cutting down on the amount of time you might have to go and get wood. It has all kinds of implications for the environment when women can use some of the natural resources, God-given resources that we have on the continent. One of the things that really is a pillar and a backbone to the trainings is the fact that when we go into the communities, when we are working with communities, we respect the local authority there because we know that there's no way we can work around them. How do you go back into your community and really make this practical? How do you go into your community and have conversations with your chief, have conversations with your husband? So how do you have those conversations? How do you show the credibility? How do you show yourself as a visible leader, really leading by example? And what really inspires me in these trainings is that in one moment you see women doing work in the classroom, discuss climate change and women's rights and leadership. And then the next moment we are in the field building these technologies. And in fact, one of the ladies who was in our training in Ghana nicknamed herself Concrete Woman. Women are realizing that they are carpenters, they are masons who are hitting nails, building these rainwater harvesting system. You know, women were mixing the concrete and putting the cement in to build the EcoSan toilet. Women were at the same time doing the same things for the biosand filters. We became technology people. We became lab people. We were able to use our versatility as women. Of course, one of the things that is so part of our training is laughter and singing, and the power of voice. There's a powerful transformation that happens when you see women starting to use their voice. Whatever it is that you may have on your heart, you find an ear. You find sisterhood. Come and join us on the morning train. Come and join us on the morning train. For the evening train may be too late. Come and join us on the morning train. Or would sing a song like, progress, 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 we are progressing. Progress, 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 we are progressing. Women are technicians today, we are progressing. Women are masons today, we are progressing. Women are doctors today, we are progressing. Are we together? We are one. Eh, eh, we are together, we are one.
Come and join us on the morning train. Come and join us on the morning train. For the evening train may be too late.
That sense of sisterhood was strong at WIA's 5-year anniversary gala. Maame brought together all the staff of WIA, along with Gemma Bulos of Global Women's Water Initiative, to create a powerful a cappella choir. Groups like WIA that empower women worldwide on a grassroots level have been attracting robust funder support in a very tight economy. At WIA's gala, one of their supporters, filmmaker Sandra Hay, shared her reasons for working pro bono with WIA.
The women have been holding it down forever. Unspoken heroes, unseen heroes, and it's time. It is the time for everyone on the planet to step up. It's not just the women, but it's so beautiful to watch the flourishing, to be part of the flourishing, and to recognize that we have to work together. And that is divine. That comes from a very sacred place. It's that sacredness of spirituality in action that is transforming the world.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. Today's program is a special collaboration with the Women Rising radio series, a project of Crown Safira Productions. Visit us on the web at radioproject.org and soon at the new womenrisingradio.com.
Come join us on the
Take my hand and we'll stand in reverie. We'll learn to navigate through restless storms. Our bravery will measure, oh yeah. Together find the strength to transform a heartache into treasure, oh. That's the voice of Gemma Bulos, founder and director of the Global Women's Water Initiative. Partnering with the Women's Earth Alliance and another activist group called Crabgrass, Global Women's Water Initiative creates grassroots programs in Ghana and throughout sub-Saharan Africa, training rural women to develop their own clean water technologies. Gemma was part of the choir that sang at the Women's Earth Alliance 5-year gala, but she'd been singing for a long time before that. She says the work she's doing with the Global Women's Water Initiative began with a song.
I was always wanted to be a singer my entire life. And I actually did become a professional singer. I was a professional singer living in New York City, a professional jazz singer. So I would sing at night. And in the daytime, I actually would teach preschool. And I was actually supposed to be in the World Trade Center when the planes hit, because I taught a preschool class right across the street from the World Trade Center. And I called in sick that day, like so many other people. And then September 11th happened. And for me, the way I chose to see the world was people came together through their grief. They came together in a way that made them all the same, that we all wanted to have security for ourselves and our families. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be amazing if we actually could bring the world together again in that way, but this time not through sadness and grief, but this time through celebration. And so I wrote a song. I'm a songwriter as well. And I wrote a song in response to it, and it was called We Rise. And it initially was a song for myself, for my own personal healing, and it ended up transforming into this crazy notion of me building a million voice choir around the world to sing it. So I actually left my life in New York, all of my, you know, ball gowns and feather boas and, you know, and with what very little money I had, I said, okay, I'm going to travel around the world and build this million voice choir to sing my song. And I literally traveled with no money, no resources at all, but just this guitar in hand and my backpack. And I started to get invited to conferences and gatherings around the world that were all about peace and environment and youth gatherings and empowerment and things like that. And one of the themes of the song that totally emerged was the notion that it takes a single drop of water to start a wave. And so by September 21st, 2004, we had over 100 cities in over 60 countries singing from all over the planet. People like Jane Goodall, Pete Seeger invited me to his house and sat me down, made soup. We ate under his tree in his front yard, and he told me how he sang my song every morning when he walked up the side of the mountain. I mean, things like this were happening all over the place, speaking alongside people like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and it was crazy. And I started to get known as the Water Lady for some crazy reason. And so I got invited to speak and sing at the United Nations Water for Life conference back in 2003. And it was there that I started to actually learn that there was an international water crisis. Unbeknownst to me, born and raised in the United States, who could always just flush a toilet when I needed to, who could just turn on the faucet and the water was there. And it was astounding to me to find out that 1.2 billion people in the world at that time didn't have access to water, that 3 to 5 million people were dying every year of water-related disease. And to me, that was just unacceptable. So I started to integrate that into my message as well.
Gemma Bulos won an award from Queen Latifah and CoverGirl for women who are changing the world through music. And with that money, she started her first water project. Being a Filipina-American, she decided to begin in the Philippines, where there's a lot of water everywhere, but precious little of it to drink.
We actually did a lot of listening, and we designed a community-driven water and sanitation model that actually facilitated a process in which the community was able to identify, design, plan, implement, and manage their own water and sanitation solutions. And because of that, we won all these crazy Social Entrepreneur Awards from Echoing Green to Schwab Foundation to Ernst Young, because these water service organizations not only could provide sustainable water services, but they could actually do it in a way that it was income generating and they could reinvest in their communities. And so basically what I feel like we're doing with the Global Women's Water Initiative is we're looking at really simple water and sanitation technologies. We're not talking about big water systems. We're talking about a rainwater harvesting system where they install a tank and attach some gutters to the side of a house, whether it has a thatched roof or whether it's just four posts they put on the ground. Really simple things they can do on their own that aren't going to require a ton of financial investment, but will really provide them the resources that they need to lessen their burdens. We're looking at very simple pit latrines and EcoSand toilets. One of the other technologies that we introduce as well is called the BioSand filter.
The Global Women's Water Initiative and WIA worked with Canadian experts to train women from all over Africa in the building and use of the BioSand water filter. One of those women was Mama Catherine, a grassroots activist from Cameroon.
We don't have that good water. So we're thinking on what to do to rescue this situation. When we were told, when Gemma said the training will be in Cameroon, I and my partner, we said, oh my God, our dream has come true.
Mama Catherine actually learned at our training. And it's a really simple modified slow sand water filter that's basically just a cement box with very specially treated sand and gravel. And when I say specially treated, I don't mean putting chemicals and things like that, just a way that they process the sand. And that has been proven around the world to remove really high a percentage of pathogens that make people sick. And one of the reasons why I am so tied to water is that water to me was just a perfect metaphor for a pathway towards peace. Because the smallest plant and the richest man are equal in that we need water to survive. What an amazing place where we can agree. Forget everything else. We agree on that. What an amazing place for us to set a foundation of cooperation. I've been invited to tons of water conferences around the world, and there's always a track that talks about women and water and how important it is for them to be part of the decision making. And then you look at in the audience and there's three women. We need to have women not only at the level of community implementing, but also at the policy level. We need them at the NGO level. We need them present at these places where their voices are so sadly, sadly lacking.
Oh yes, we'll shower the fields of every girl and boy to free their hearts of aching.
That's it for this Women's Desk edition of Making Contact. These profiles of international changemakers were co-produced with Lynn Feinerman's Women Rising radio series, a project of Crown Safira Productions. You can learn more about the work of these courageous women at radioproject.org and soon at womenrisingradio.com. If you'd like to order a CD of this program, our toll-free number is 800-529-5736. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio, additional audio courtesy of Gemma Bulos, Women's Earth Alliance, and Evan Fraser's Organica. Production engineer is Esther Manilla, Lisa Rudman, Executive Director, Peggy Law is our founding director, and I'm your host, Sandina Robbins.